Good afternoon, and welcome to the Stan Turner Show. Glad to have you with us. We have something we believe is beyond special for you today. This noon, we are rebroadcasting a show that we aired live on July 2nd, 2011. My guests in the studio here at KLBB that day were none other than Charlie Boone and Roger Erickson, the legendary radio duo who were so much a part of our lives for so many years. As most of you know, Roger Erickson died just a few days ago. Charlie Boone left us 2 years ago. So now we want to pay tribute to this dynamic duo with this encore program we first brought you in 2011.
Good afternoon, everybody. Stan Turner with you. Boy, if you've been listening to KLBB all week, you know what's coming down this hour. We are going to have a royal ball here today. Maestro, maestro, music, please. Let's have it, George. You don't need the words to go along with that music. You know, unless you've been living under a rock the last many years. That's the Boone and Erickson theme. Yep, Charlie Boone, Roger Erickson, one of the most famous and beloved duos in our part of the broadcasting world. They have... I wrote it. Thanks for writing that for me, Roger. You were so sweet to do. Or did your wife write that? I'm not sure. Beautiful Margaret. You believe it, folks? We have these two wonderful guys here. Charlie Boone almost got lost in Hudson this afternoon, but Charlie, you made it. Thank you.
I had lots of time, and I wanted to go via Hudson because I thought there'd be a big line of traffic on Main Street in Stillwater.
Yep,
there has been.
Yep.
And I thought, well, I think maybe I'll go up Hudson Way, and what do I meet? A 4th of July parade. Now, I wasn't in the parade.
Did they give you... No, you weren't in the parade.
No, they just got rid of me on a side street. Then I couldn't find my way. I got lost. I finally found myself on the rustic highway behind a club of Corvettes. Red, bright red, bright yellow, you know. And that curve... It was a beautiful drive. And that curved until I got to 35. That's what I was looking for.
Okay.
And then I went the wrong way, and I stopped the postman, and the postman said, go the other way.
Yeah, go the other way.
When you get to 64 and Holton, turn left. I did.
You asked, how do I get to Stillwater? And Roger, how do you get to Stillwater? Don't commit a crime. No. Well, that'll do it too, but you're here. Roger, you found your way.
And
Margaret got here. You left early, about 6 this morning, and got through everything.
Well, I spent a lot of time here.
Yeah. This is
you spent
not
a lot of time in Stillwater.
A lot of time in Stillwater.
What did you do? What are you in for?
Roger Erickson and Charlie Boone. Boy, they,
a legend.
A legend
in
their own minds. But actually, they're a legend in their own time, and they always have been. By golly, these guys did a duo on CCO Radio from 1961 to 1998. They're still the best of friends.
Do you know Pearl from Two Harbors?
Pearl Harbor Two. Wow! Da 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 da. You better keep that music going there, George. Pearl Harbor. December 7th, 1941.
December 7th. And so we're doing the 40s, and Charlie and I were actually teenagers at the time. But as we know, teenagers know everything. And we see everything, and we report everything, and we still have it here in our brains. And we're going to tell you all about it, what it was like, you know. And finally, during the war, Charlie Boone becomes eligible to be drafted. And he is. And he becomes a hero.
And he goes off.
Immediately.
Well, the war ended immediately.
It did.
I was inducted and they called it off.
Now, I am just a little younger than Charlie.
Just a little younger.
Less than a year, but enough to make a difference. But then I did get... by the way, I was there. I had to leave a job here in Stillwater at this radio station to go into service during Korea.
Yeah. We got
it. I came back.
Yeah.
And it was... I tell you, it was a wonderful time here. I used to go off, I'd be on the air in the morning and until noon, and the last thing, have the news, 12:30, and I'd run down here to Muller Boat Livery, where I had a beautiful boat. Well, it's about 8 feet long, probably. A little fishing boat.
Yep.
Had a motor on it, and it started occasionally. But I would get in, And I'd cut across the river to one of the beaches, and I'd have the sandwich and Coke, and I'd sit there, sun would be out, people going by in the boats. Man, this is a place to live.
Yeah.
Huh?
Why would you go to CCO Radio with a deal like that?
Why didn't you stay here?
Why didn't you stay here?
Well, Bozo the Clown called.
Ah.
Oh, that's right, Bozo. Mm.
Well, we're gonna talk about Bozo, but folks, as you probably already picked up, this is full circle for Roger Erickson. He started here. It was called WAVN.
Yep.
The same building, the same studio.
Well, actually, it was WSHB.
Was it HSB?
White Bear.
Oh,
WSHB.
Yeah.
White Bear, Stillwater, Hudson, and Bayport.
Bayport, okay.
And then we changed it. I can't remember what all happened, but anyway, decided on, we had a contest. What call letters would be. People send in call letters, and why, and
bet,
why.
I bet you there was
some.
You
know, not just the call letters, but what did it represent?
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. And matter of fact, we had some very good ones. So we got one of the ministers to come here, and we had, they were so good, we put them in a pile. We had some a minister come here, so make it legitimate. He made the drawing, and out came W-A-V-N, which stood for this person. It started for We Accent Valley News.
Oh, that's what it is. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah. Huh? Isn't that right?
Yeah. We Accent Valley News.
We Accent Valley News.
This being the St. Croix Valley.
But it's nothing but fun here.
It was
just great.
Roger, welcome home. This is nice to have you back.
Oh, it's nice to be here.
It's good to be here now.
Oh, yes, you know.
George, you know, we got a clown here, too, don't you? You know, I don't know how you stand on clowns, but Roger Erickson, his career kind of budded from clowndom. How did you... You were a bozo, weren't you? And I mean that in all due respect.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Bozo the Clown.
How did that happen?
Well, it was an opportunity to do a TV show, which I wanted to do. I didn't want to leave this station, but if I had to, it was for something like a
You sold clown out show. for a clown, is that basically?
So
sold out for TV.
Yeah, right.
So they got films or cartoons of Bozo the Clown. Yeah. It'd always be in some kind of escapade. But there was a live Bozo. There were Bozos all over the country.
Yeah, I worked for them. No,
things.
I mean, no.
But I was the Bozo here. And I, so I did the commercials. I chatted with kids. Yeah. Well, hello there, boys and girls. And it was a great time.
I remember that when I was a little kid.
I'd go out to after the show, go out and make an appearance at a grocery store because they were advertising on our day.
And
I'd sit there and the kids would come by to be backed up in the aisles, about 1,000 kids with mommies. And I would say to them, Will, what's your name? And they'd look at my big shoes, and they wanted to stomp on them, which they did occasionally. But they stomped too far up. I got it. Oh! How can I tell them it's my feet in it? And then it'd be maybe a kid coming over with a very lovely mother. You go home and tell your mother she's gorgeous.
Ooh, I think.
And they'd either look at me like, what's the matter with him? Or, well, thank you.
I'm going to tell my daddy.
But I mean, you know, back then...
This clown is flirting, isn't it? Huh?
Back then you could do that.
Were you married then? No.
Not at first.
Okay, clown. So you had an eye for the ladies. Well, how long were you a clown, right?
I was a clown.
Yeah, all his life.
Well, yeah. Well, good, in the best sense of the word. You got to CCO Radio from clown, right?
Yes. So then I figured if I could get to CCO Radio, not that I wanted, as I said, I wanted to leave here because it's so wonderful, but if I got to WCCO Radio, that'd be kind of neat. Get a little change, and then I'll come back to WAVN again later, if they'd have me. But anyway, what happened was, it just the way I thought. WCCO had a guy on the air on Saturday who couldn't make it, and there was nobody else around. He said, we got to have an announcer. Got to have an announcer for the show on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, oh, I hear this guy, this clown on television, has done a little radio. And I had done it all right here, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got my first job at CCO.
When did you hook up at CCO? What year?
1959.
Except
Charlie came in the door when, Charlie?
Right before
July 59.
59, so you both arrived there about the same time.
Yeah.
right?
What a happy coincidence. Mm-hmm. Serendipity, folks. Wow, wonderful.
Yeah.
And you're joining as a duo, as a team, as these things often are. Accidental, kind of serendipity. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Tell us how that came about.
Charlie had a show.
I replaced Randy Merriman in September of 1959.
Yeah.
In fact, I started the show October 1, 1959.
Yeah.
In the afternoon when Randy had his show. The only difference was they took the live music away from me. And I had a record show, because that's why they hired me. I realize now. Now I learn.
Because he was a big jock up in
Fargo. They hired you for your brilliance, Charlie Boone. You were a disc jockey at KFGO Fargo.
Why they hired me, because they wanted to switch from live music to records.
Ah, records.
Yes, and they were competing against several big rock stations.
Right,
at the
DGY
time.
And KDWB. Sure, they were big.
So I played records. And then, when the soaps went off the air, Raj took over the early afternoon.
Yeah.
And we kind of dovetailed.
Yep.
They used to have soap, 15-minute soaps from the network, practically all day. And then they took them all off because the television soap operas were coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put them, those precious few from 1 to 3. Finally, they took them off. And is that clown still around here? Maybe he can do that. But anyway, that's how it started.
We had no meteorologists at the time.
How did you do the show without a meteorologist?
We had actually better weather.
We have a complete meteorological station here. We call it a window, Charlie. We just look out, and we have the most accurate forecast we've ever seen. Right now, I'd say it's sunny, right? How about that? Huh? Yeah. Well, imagine that, doing a show without a meteorologist.
He did the weather on my show.
Yeah.
And I did the weather on his show.
And pretty soon, we're kibitzing with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that was the start.
And the chemistry was there. Absolutely.
Then they started selling advertising with us.
Yeah.
And then they said, maybe you might officially have a show here.
And they eventually paid you. Is that right?
Yeah, kind of. It wasn't as good as WABN, but it
was. CCO Radio, was that listened to at your place? Way back then? Mm-hmm. Sure, so you kind of grew up with it at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The magic of CCO Radio. All things change. CCO has been an institution in broadcasting, known far and wide, far beyond this broadcast market. But it's changed. Everything else has changed, and it's different. And I kind of grew up with it. A lot of people did. Yeah, there were rock stations that drew us away. But, Charlie, that's one of the reasons they brought you down here. You were very big as you were down here up in Fargo. You met some interesting people. Bobby Valeen. You were present at the creation.
I was
February
at
1959.
At his 16th birthday party at a Moonlight Drive-In Theater.
Yeah, yeah. Kid was called at an awful moment in history. The death of Buddy Holly. Buddy, the big bopper.
The night the music died.
The night the music died. It didn't, thank God. It really didn't, but people thought it would. But, Charlie, you were the MC. You were already selected as the MC that night for the big Holly show. Across the river, I think, in Moorhead at the Armory. And they put out a frantic call. They're going to go on with the show, even though the star had just died hours before. So the word went out on radio, probably on your station, too, and a young kid named Bobby Valeen and his brother Billy and a band. I think they had to come up with a name right away.
They were really a garage band. They had never played before a public audience before.
Right. Called Bobby. I guess he came. You asked him, what's your name? You got to have a name. Yes, Bobby.
What do we call you?
What are we going to say? What did he come up with? Was it The Shadows?
The Shadows.
Yeah, The Shadows. You got to know Bobby. We had him on the air with us about a month ago. He's the sweetest man. He never got the ego problem. String of hits, one of the great injustices. Here's a tangent I'm going off. He's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is an absolute disgrace. He charted, 15 or so top 10 hits over the years, and he's still not in.
He doesn't want to go to Cleveland.
You know what? Right. I don't you blame him. who does? But he belongs in there. And Charlie, you got to know him. You've become great friends and have stayed that way. And it was just after he turned 16, he and brother Billy and the other guys in The Shadows, they got in Billy's car, came down to Minneapolis and to the K-Bank Studios and recorded their first song.
K-Bank Studios.
Wow. You were there when the history was made.
Yes, and I don't remember it.
How could you?
No, but some things that happen early in your life, they don't assume the importance they do perhaps until later.
Yeah. Well, lifelong friends with Bobby. Bobby's hit there. It became a regional hit, and he was on his way. That's a great song. His brother, his late brother now, Billy, played those guitar licks without a pick. He used only his thumb, his fingers on that. Just
amazing.
Great talent.
Yes.
You came down then to CCO from KFGO and that whole atmosphere up there. This was a time when rock and roll was in ferment. It had been invented and now it was really taking off. And it was a great time. And you come down to CCO Radio and boy, the rocket ship was launched. And Roger, what a great...
Roger was an actor. The Lakeshore Players.
Yeah.
Where were the Lakeshore Players? Where was that established?
Probably on some lakeshore. That's just a wild guess, man. I don't know. Smart guy.
They could have called it Golden Pond or something.
Yeah. White Bear Lake.
White Bear Lake. Where you met the lady who would become your wife.
I did, mm-hmm. Yeah. She had the female lead and I had the male lead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What was it? Do you remember the play?
Let's see. Was it Twelfth Night? No. Mm. No. Mag, is she out there?
Mag is out there, yeah. Beautiful Margaret. She is a beautiful lady. Folks, do you believe it? We have them both here. These wonderful gentlemen, these great, great broadcasters whom we all know and love and miss, but they come back, fortunately, from time to time to grace us with their presence, with their talent, with their humor.
After the break, Roger will tell you where he's going to take Margaret and all the secret... Rustic Row is probably...
He knows all the back roads around
here, doesn't he, Charlie?
In fact, he carved out a few of them. Let's take a break, George. Let's pay a couple bills, make Dan Smith really happy here. He's already happy. What a great guy he is. We'll take a break here. Back with Boone and Erickson. My golly, we're having fun. We are back on a beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you so much for your company. Stan Turner with you with some of my real heroes in the broadcasting business. In fact, any business. These guys are gentlemen. They are part of our lives. They are... Roger Erickson and Charlie Boone. Yep, they kind of crept out of retirement here for a minute. They're still active. They're still doing things together. They'll be appearing next Wednesday at the Old Log Theater out there in the western suburbs. And this is one of the great duos of our lives or of our times. You know, a long time ago, there was Burns and Allen, Abbott and Costello, Lennon and Trotsky, Sacco and Vanzetti, Preparation and H. But you guys rise to the top when it comes to duos.
How are you going to beat stuff like that? Huh?
I actually used those lines on a roast for you guys a few years ago. I was hoping you'd forget. You probably want to.
We have.
Well, back at you, Charlie. Thank you so much.
Roger thought of the name of the play. The play that he met his wife.
Where you met your wife.
I can't believe I forgot the name of the play.
Yep.
Silver Whistle.
She helped write some of the Boone and Erickson stuff, didn't she?
Well, she would, especially when it involved... England or something,
well,
or Shakespeare.
Speaking of England, it was, you guys, your humor was always timely and very topical. You drew off current events, which was so great, and your acting ability and the rest was just in the production values, terrific. Thanks to a guy named Tom Osman, who I call kind of an audio-video archaeologist, he can dig up some great stuff, and he found some vintage Boone and Erickson bits here, one of which was based on an actual event some couple decades ago where some guy got into Queen Elizabeth's bedroom at Buckingham Palace. He actually breached all the security and got in there. You guys did a turn on that. Kind of an ugly American turn, too, Charlie, where you're the guy that thinks it's a Holiday Inn, apparently. He doesn't know he's in the palace. Let's give it a listen here. This is a scream.
Hey, is this the Holiday Inn, lady?
No, our holiday place is at Windsor.
You got an ice machine out in the hall? I want to send Blanche and the kids out to get some ice. A coupon I got here says we get bed and breakfast. Kids stay free. Is that right?
I beg your pardon.
Hey, what is that guy with a big fur hat and that funny coat out in front? Do you see him standing out in that little outhouse? He wouldn't even talk to us. I tried to get his attention. He wouldn't talk to us.
Those are the cold stream gods.
Cold cream? My wife uses a lot of that stuff. She uses cold cream on her face, body cream on her body, foot cream on her feet. You know, it's nice, but she keeps slipping on the bed. It's one of the reasons I asked for a queen size. This is a queen size bed, isn't it?
Rather.
Yeah, I gotta say, it's a nice looking room. I look beautiful. Now, Blanche won't complain so much about my cigar smoking. This is a big, nice big room, high ceiling. This... Hey, is this the bathroom? Hey, there's no tissue strip across the old throne here.
The throne is in the throne room.
Well, I should hope so. Hey, somebody's already unwrapped the soap. Hey, the soap says right here, by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen.
Yes, that is I.
Yeah, I used to know a burlesque queen back in Toledo. Hey, by the way, what are you doing here?
I am the mistress of the house.
Oh, you're one of those. Well, you'd have to get out of here before Blanche and the kids show up. Hey, is there a Gideon Bible there in the drawer? Hey, see, you got a cigarette?
And now,
Charles Boone and Roger Erickson.
Sir!
Sir Charles Boone and Roger Erickson.
No!
All right.
Say, do you realize that if President Nixon has one more crisis, he'll have enough crises to have his own daytime cereal?
That's right.
Raj, what's on the show for today?
Well, some terrific jokes,
yeah?
Witty sayings, and the old-timers.
Oh, the old-timers.
Say, old-timer, you going to talk about the energy crisis today?
That's right. I bought one of those really small cars to get more gas. 40 miles to the gallon.
Wow, 40 miles to the gallon.
Oh, I'll tell you, it was embarrassing. I had to stop at 3 more gas stations than the car did.
It'll be good to hear the old-timers. You say he's a bit insecure? He has a life preserver on his rowing machine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Young man.
Yes, Daddy.
I hear you have been causing trouble for your mother all day. Now, just who do you think you are to disobey your mother? What gives you the idea that you're any better than I am?
When do you know when the honeymoon is over, Maudie?
Oh, my, when you kiss your husband without losing your train of thought. The honeymoon is over.
You want to say one more thing, old-timer?
Yeah, I said history was a lot easier when we were in school. Not only was there less of it, but it stayed in one place.
There's a little sampler for you. Vintage Boone and Erickson. You guys had a pretty good yuck. You haven't heard that one for a while. That is great stuff.
That was kind of, we started our show with that opening thing with a few gags.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had more fun. So many people at the station actually got in on the thing, especially Minnesota Hospital. Eric Escala maybe would come back. Do you think Helen Trent should, you know, or something?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'd come up with ideas, and it was great.
Larry Haig Jr., who now lives back in St. Paul,
yeah,
was a big executive with Wells Fargo,
yeah,
on the West Coast in San Francisco.
Right.
And his father hired both of us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. These bits, as I said, they were topical, they were fun. 50,000 watts, clear channel, CCO radio, had a reach second to none. I mean, when you guys hit that on-air button, you were all over creation, weren't you? It really is true. Had a huge audience. I remember some of your audience shares, 60%, you know, you owned the whole thing.
I think it was 68 when we both came to the station, and by the time we left, it was not quite 60.
it was sky high. Those bits we just heard, Boone and Erickson, the station put out a compilation, a collection of some of the bits here. They're all printed, and by happy accident, talk about serendipity, I was out at the Minnesota Book Fair at the State Fairgrounds last weekend. Book dealers from all over the country come in. Charlie, you'd love it. Here it is. I think this guy was from Indiana. He had CCO Radio Presents the Worst of Boone and Erickson right here. So I got it. I thought this is meant to be.
I hope you didn't pay too much for it.
I did not. I stole it. I shoplifted it. Absolutely. You know I wouldn't pay for it. I did pay for it. $13, boys.
No.
Yes.
That's inflation for
That's
you.
That's ridiculous. It's an outrage. I love the testimonials on the back about why people should not buy the book in this case. Remember the critics say about the Worst of Boone and Erickson? This is from Jim Klobuchar, who's then a columnist for The Star.
And by the way, that's theirs, not ours.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. You didn't even know they were putting this together.
We know they were doing. They wanted to do something like that to hand out at the fair.
Yeah.
But we didn't know.
You didn't know.
What of our stuff that he was going to use, right?
Right.
Dick Stuck putting
this
it together.
This is intellectual property of yours they took, right? Margaret, this is an outrage. They took your stuff and published it. Anyway, this book, The Worst of Boone and Erickson, you know, there are usually testimonials printed on the back, on the dust cover, why you should buy the book. Well, these testimonials are why you should not buy the book. Klobuchar wrote, "This is not a book, it's a penance. If I were a Catholic priest, I would put it in the confessional. The fear of being ordered to read it would scare all wrongdoers into returning to innocence and virtue."
That's very good.
How about this from the late Dave Moore of CCO TV? "This book has already made history. Before publication, the authors were required to file an environmental impact statement." And this from the late Hubert Humphrey. "This is the only book on the market that you won't want to pick up, much less put down." There you go, boys. Anyway, I found it. I paid $13, and I'm happy. The Music Room at Hobbs House.
Yes.
It is said that more babies were conceived during that show than you'd ever believe. He played all that beautiful music.
He did. And Jurgen Nash met his wife in Northern England, didn't he?
Right, yeah.
During the war.
When he was a soldier over in England.
It's kind of interesting, you know, a lot of the Cedric Adams, Bob DeHaven and those, back in the 30s they were hired. And then they kept on right, they were too old for the war, kept on until these guys who were in the war were able to go to school and take up radio, and then they came on. So it was really a wonderful thing that happened there.
I remember Franklin Hobbs. I had a good friend who took me under his wing at CCO, Paul Jay. Remember him, Roger?
Oh,
Paul
sure,
Jay?
Yes.
Yeah. We lost him at a very young age. Pity, but he was kind of my mentor. I met him because I would go up there on the weekends when I wasn't going to the U of M.
And, you did that too? You'd hang out?
And, I did that. And Paul, I didn't meet you guys because you were Monday through Friday and he was on the weekend. So, but I eventually did meet you guys. But Frank Hobbs would be working Friday night. He did the overnight show. Sometimes Paul would sit in for him. And one night, Frank was just about to leave early. That would be 1 a.m. or midnight. He looked at me and said, kid, take this 20 and go downstairs to the court bar. There's a bar that's still down there on the street level of CCO building. Bring us up. I want a ginger and whiskey. And ask the engineer what he wants. All these people are gone now, so I can say this. I did that. I'm proud of a traitress. I wouldn't dare say that a couple years ago, but that's what happened then. You know, nobody got stiff. Frank was fine. Just had a little taste. He loved Frank Sinatra, Charlie. I know you like him, too. He played a lot of Sinatra. The music room at Hobbs House. Eventually, he had his cabin on Gull Lake hardwired, and he did the show from there in his later years.
He'd get phone calls from people like Henry Mancini.
Yeah,
right on
would.
The show.
He would.
Henry would be listening out in the desert somewhere.
You're right.
His 50,000 watts carries a long way when you're clear channel.
Yeah.
You know, we started these tours because you know, Northwest Airlines was a big advertiser, WCCO Radio. Good way to get some extra publicity for them. Plus, you know, they get all the good business.
They got some nice trips out of it, didn't you?
So this was in the early 60s, right? Yeah. Charlie went, you were the first one to go.
After Bob DeHaven.
After Bob DeHaven.
Bob got it.
So but this is all in the early 60s. Charlie, then I had my turn to go to Hawaii, okay? Mm-hmm. So they had, by that time, what was the airplane, back before the jets? It was a long haul to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this probably is the one that had 110 people.
Stratocruiser, Boeing 97.
It was,
I think it was.
The first, first real jet. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we hit the advertising for it, and they came in and by the hundreds. You could only take 110. And it was unbelievable. We decided to take the whole plane. Now, to show you how different things are, we had the Northwest Airlines put on some special champagne for us because it's the first time for me and first I think, for this plane. And so people were drinking this champagne, and I think a lot of them weren't quite used to it.
And it's a long
time. And you could walk up and down the aisle. Remember that, Charlie? You didn't have to stay seated.
Yeah.
Walk up and down the aisle. And so they're drinking this wine, and I'd come up to this one person trying to, talk to each one.
Mm-hmm.
And this one said, this is the first time I've had this since the junior-senior prom. And everybody was, we the plane, you land in Honolulu, mm-hmm. and it was just basically one building, wasn't it? And you'd taxi up near it, and you'd get out, and you'd take a picture of everybody under the wings. And the guy would be on top of this building and take the picture. And I got people, we still have that picture, people standing kind of like sideways. Oh, another thing.
They were listing a little another quarter thing, starboard.
To show you what it was like. I go back to they were called stewardesses then, right?
Yes, right.
Went to the stewardess, and I said, would you mind if I used your mic there just a little bit so I could say something to the crowd? Oh, no, go ahead. Okay. So I got up, and I said,
hi there. This is your captain speaking, and I hope you're all having a good time. Now, we are going to make a stop pretty soon on the way to Hawaii. And it's going to be right there in Las Vegas. No, wait a minute. Not Las Vegas. Hey, what one was it? Seattle? Oh, because I know it's on the West Coast. I know that. Where is it? Los Angeles. I think it's maybe Los Angeles then.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, have a good time.
Yeah, have some more.
I mean, you think, would you imagine something like that happening today?
They didn't have the TSA all over you. Their FBI would meet you on landing.
Yeah, Charlie. You forget how simple it was to fly in those days.
Yeah. Oh, man, I want to ask you guys about the golden time of Twins baseball. CCO had everything in the way of sports, everything, the Gophers, the pro teams. Halsey Hall, Herb Carneal, Ray Scott. Was there ever a better threesome on the air? Anywhere? Halsey with his...
Oh, well, Charlie can do Halsey. Give us a Halsey,
little
Charlie.
Little Halsey, Charlie.
I start coughing. Oh, my goodness.
And he used to drink liquid once in a while. He had, I think it was water
was
or something.
Imbibed,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The elegant Ray Scott. He was part of that triumvirate on the air. Brother Hal was on CCO TV for a while as a sportscaster.
Yeah, Ray did Green Bay.
Yeah, he did.
And
he was a CBS play-by-play guy. Yeah.
And one of the very best.
The very best.
Oh, and what that was a wonderful time. Remember, minimum of words.
Thank you. That's exactly his hallmark. He never told you the obvious.
Right,
you know, he just told you the information
you needed
to know. A man of few words because you didn't need. The words he spoke were important. They helped you understand what had just transpired on the field. He was a gentleman, too.
Yeah.
This was a time of coming together, a confluence of talent, and it all happened at CCO Radio. Dick Enroth did some sports there for a long time. Paul Giel came in and did some, too.
He said Charlie and Raj, back in the 60s, he said this, back in the 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
He said, buy real estate. It's one thing that they can't recreate. Buy real estate. I was driving across on the upper Afton Road or lower Afton Road, and I thought, I could have bought all this. In 1960, it was cheap.
It was
right. It was farmland. It was ripe. And now they've got beautiful residential areas. They call it Woodbury.
Woodbury.
Yeah, I could have owned that.
Or Woodbury.
I'd listened to Dick Enroth.
Yeah.
He was right.
He was a good man. Dick was also in the funeral home business, too. And he ran for Congress. He ran in the 5th District.
I didn't know
he
that.
He did a couple of times, yeah. He did. He came close. Don Fraser was in office then.
Sure.
Don kind of had a lock on the job, but Dick gave him a good run for his money.
The mayor of Minneapolis.
Yeah, right. So, Enroth, all these people, Halsey we talked about, Chapman, Paul Jay, my late friend Bob Montgomery was there, Chuck Lilligren, Joyce Lamont. She was on KLBB for a while. She
was indeed. She had the youngest voice.
She did. She could read potluck supper announcements, man, like nobody could. Mm-hmm. She was just a sweet lady. And the Haven used to give her a heck of a time in the morning.
Well, and Howard.
Howard would play.
Howard played the burlesque.
The stripper, David Rose.
Yeah.
Oh, Howard, stop that. It was great fun. It was really not scripted. Radio just as it happened.
As it happened, you were
like, you know, and again, I told Roger, I don't know if you agree with this or not, a few decades ago. George, what do we have?
Could we get the three of you combined to do a live ID?
Yes, we can. This is AM 1220.
KLBB.
Stillwater,
Minnesota.
Thank you. Now we're legal, Dan. We can go on. I was going to ask you about this phenomenon. You might have remembered I worked for Stan Hubbard for a long time. Great guy.
He never offered us a job.
He did.
And I auditioned.
Did you audition for him? This is the older fellow, the founding father, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say to you, Raj, when you did your audition?
He said, keep working out there and someday.
Maybe someday.
I auditioned for him, too.
Did you really, Charlie?
Yeah, 1956, 7, something like that.
Why didn't they give you the job?
That's what I keep asking Stan.
One thing that surprised me very, very much was Steve Cannon's joining CCO Radio. I worked with Steve. I worked in the newsroom. His show started at 5 a.m., and the newsroom was en route to the studio upstairs. His theme would be playing, his engineer, the late Willie Hartho, a sweet man. The theme would be on, there'd be no Steve Cannon. The dogs were barking. The theme was going. It ran out, a segue into commercial, and suddenly Cannon was sort of loping down the hall about 5:10 in the morning.
With
his paper bag full of newspapers and stuff, and beefing and moaning and upstairs. He just put on a brilliant show with all of his alter egos. It was unbelievable. We had to hose out the studio when he finished his shift. It was just so full of stuff. I'm sure it was at CCO, too.
Sure.
But he was the anti-CCO. I was surprised. I'm glad the CCO picked him up. But here are you guys, non-offensive, good neighbor to the Northwest, nicely rounded corners. Here is this guy with attitude in your face.
Phil Lewis had the vision.
That's right.
Exactly. This was so counterintuitive, I couldn't believe the CCO hired him. But they did, and it worked. I thought he would alienate everybody in your audience three times over, because he was brilliant. I loved his humor.
He was.
He vented, he carped, he kvetched. And you guys never did that. You kind of put
we
the
never kvetched.
Never kvetched. I saw you kvetch once. It was on 7th Street, Charlie.
I never kvetched.
The police came and we dropped the charges. Okay, you kvetched once. But he did this, and somehow it dovetailed with what CCO did, and it was a great surprise, a wonderful surprise.
But he still maintained his own product. You know,
oh,
he
yes.
was unique
yes, yes.
in that way.
He would not allow anybody to watch him on the air at KSTP when he was doing his voices because he did things with his face. You know, he didn't want anybody to see the magic. Did he do that at CCO, too? Were people not allowed to watch
him? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stay away.
Well, he had to concentrate.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
of the voices.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, when he was on mic, when he was straight on talking, that was Steve.
Mm-hmm.
He turned his face to the left, then he knew he was talking with...
Yeah. Morgan Mundane.
Turn to the right and it'd be Ma.
Oh, yeah.
Modeling.
That's how he kept them straight. So he had to concentrate very hard. And people thought maybe he's a little snooty or something. It wasn't that at all.
No,
he had to really concentrate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did a heck of a job. There's one Charlie still does, a point of law.
Point.
In
yeah,
honor
yeah,
of.
Charlie did that.
Yeah.
Point of law, law. You did some great stuff there, Charlie. That was a regularly sponsored, regular feature
yes,
on CCO in the
yes.
afternoon.
Syndicated around the country, yeah. not by me, but by someone else. But
you
the
did
station,
voice, yeah.
The station wanted it to be broadcast locally, mm-hmm. so they get local sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And so they held an audition. So I copied the guy who did it.
Oh.
And did an impression really? Of him, and I won the audition.
Oh, well, sure.
So then I did
sure.
it for almost 40 years.
Listening to you, I almost became a lawyer. Lucky for the legal profession, I didn't. Those were brilliant. I learned a lot of law from those pieces.
They were
really
fun.
Good. They were fun. They were great. What else do you guys remember best and most about working there? So much fun besides the two of you. It's the people around there. The management had to be good. They had to give you a free run.
So they did.
We were talking about that the other day. Yeah. They often have, in radio stations, they have meetings.
Meetings.
Every morning after the show. In the 50 years we worked together at CCO, never. Not one meeting, right?
That's right.
Never. We just did our thing.
George, what's that great line you have about meetings? Remember that one?
Meetings are where minutes are kept and hours wasted.
I'm with you, George.
I love it, huh? There's something to that. You had the free artistic run. They trusted you like Dan trusts me. Sometimes regrets.
They never questioned us.
Never.
Never
no,
questioned.
No. You traveled a lot, those great... trips to Charlie, you led some of those tours to Hawaii, as you say.
Yeah. Spent in January 1 year in 1963, Joyce Lamont and I did a tour, and we celebrated Winter Carnival, the St. Paul Winter Carnival, on the beach of Waikiki.
You had a toboggan, didn't you?
Toboggan.
Northwest Airlines flew over two toboggans, and we had a toboggan race.
It made the paper.
It did indeed. That
made the.
You've had some many guests, quote-unquote stars over the year. Jessel, you've had him.
Oh, George Jessel.
Who were some of the ones that gave you the, shall we say, the biggest challenge? Some of them get away
he
from
you. He danced with Ginger Rogers.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
You and...
I did.
You mean Fred Astaire's legendary dancing
yes,
partner?
Yes, I did.
Did she lead or you, Roger?
No, I led.
Did you?
And she said afterwards, you know, that really was a wonderful polka. It was supposed to be a waltz. It's true.
And I'll never forget the time I interviewed Jane Russell.
I'll bet you don't.
And not being from Minnesota, I failed to realize that she was
from Minnesota, right.
But she
right.
did the entire interview in a Brooklyn accent. And I didn't know the difference. That's amazing that she could do movies and not sound like a Brooklyn, you know, right. the Brooklynese.
She was from Bemidji. She died just about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah,
amazing. She was putting you on big time, wasn't she?
Big time. Well, she was probably bored, and she'd done a bunch of interviews, and she thought, I'm going to set this guy up. Well, she did.
I want to say it's a pleasure to be here from California, get out of that cold weather, and come in here for the beautiful sunshine. I came here for a tan, you know, and it's working out very well. So far, I'm blue. But the colors will change.
Isn't that beautiful, gentlemen? This is what we've been looking for.
Do you mind if I take my coat off? I just saw a bluebird wearing a miniskirt. Funny thing, they got green men on Mars, but down here they got blue ones. And they have little black spots in the middle of their head. They're orthodox.
And now, Vaudeville's finest, the Georgie Jessel Review. Yes, the Georgie Jessel Review from the beautiful Orpheum Theater in the heart of the Midwest center of show business, St. Paul, where the Mississippi flows gently past the capital city of the great state of Minnesota. Yes, the Georgie Jessel Review, featuring that all-time great of show business, ladies and gentlemen, Georgie Jessel and his two stooges, Boone and Erickson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the star of the show, Georgie Jessel.
Well, well. I certainly want to thank the two MCs, Daniel Boone and Life Leaf Erickson, for that wonderful introduction. And I want to say to you lovely ladies here at the matinee that you are beautiful. I let my eyes panorama, look around the balcony, the gallery, the boxes, and it looks like I'm gazing out upon a garden of roses. That's how lovely you girls look. Here and there, there's a weed, but that's life, and we have to understand these things.
Speaking of weeds, Mr. Jessel, thank you very much.
You know, he was, when we asked him if we could do this, and he said, okay, but we're not going to put it down, because that is something I insist on. This is a big thing in show business over the years, and shouldn't be made fun of. You can have me make fun myself, but not. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, he violated the agreement.
I'll tell you
tell
one.
Us some more interesting moments.
I'll tell you about Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
When he was coming to the Twin Cities, and he promised, when he was in office, of course, and he promised that he would do just one show, radio or television. Only one. That's it. One appearance. And so we thought, well, it's got to be WCCO. Because it had the kind of affiliation with his radio station in Iowa, the main one.
That's how he started.
Yeah, that's right. So we thought, sure, it's going to be on WCCO radio. And we are going to be the ones who get them, Boone and Erickson. Well, coincidentally, at the same time, was who is the comedian who did the great impression of Reagan?
Dale.
Anyway, he coincidentally came to the station and was on our show. So we wrote a little bit for him about, you know, doing Reagan. And it was like, you go to radio stations, goes on and on like that. And we thought, we'll get Ronald Reagan to do the script. This would really be a big deal.
He would have loved it.
He would have.
Rich Little.
Thank you. That's the guy.
I'm glad I thought
Rich
of
Rich Little.
Thank you.
So,
thanks, George.
So it was
Margaret.
Great.
Margaret got it. Thank
so
you.
The next day, the announcement comes. He will be on with Dave Moore on television.
Well, it was CCO.
Moore.
You know, it shows you how Rich Little, what happened to him?
You know,
we couldn't think of him because he hasn't been in limelight for a long time, has he?
Is he still around? Does anybody know? We're going to Google him right now.
Know.
Ever been Googled, guys? Don't try.
I hope not.
At least frown on that. We'll find
he
out.
Did a Reagan that was almost spooky.
Oh, it was.
It was absolutely spot on.
And the bit you wrote for him was magnificent.
Well, what do you mean? I wrote. We both.
You wrote that.
No, wait a minute.
I was on vacation.
Actually,
so
I wrote.
It couldn't have been me.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah, Roger wrote most of the good bits.
No. We both do, but that's right. You were on vacation. We had, You started at there was
WHO
doing
it.
Yeah, and all that stuff.
Well, got it.
Well, yeah, great stuff.
Great stuff.
Rich Little, George, go ahead.
Dan just looked him up on the internet. Mm-hmm. Rich Little is still alive. He lives in Las Vegas and still performs regularly.
Call him right now, George. Get him on the line. We'll have him do Reagan again.
But he doesn't appear on any television.
No, we don't see him anymore.
No,
he's not. George Carlin. Other stars, other people. You've just had a whole constellation of them over the years. Did any of them get away from you? Anybody get out of hand? Or you had to curtail the interview quickly?
We did a wonderful thing with Hello, Dolly.
Carol Channing. Yeah.
She came to be on the air, and I say we, I use the... Roger really wrote the show.
No.
He did the entire show.
You weren't gone. You better be gone that time. We always wrote...
I usually pick the music and... Roger,
yeah, well, that that's...
And I would help edit, and I would do some of the voices, but...
Well, I got to tell you, insert this, just a lot of people at the station helped on those shows.
Everybody participated.
We'd be doing 7 to 8 on, you know, getting ready for just the news hour in the morning.
Yeah.
And Eric Escala would come in and said, well, don't you think that this should happen at Minnesota, Minnesota Hospital?
Yeah. Somebody, you know, running bits.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, yeah,
and also with the senator and some of the things we did were topical.
Well, that's what I mean. You were timely and topical.
Yes, but we always made fun of things, but not Boone and Erickson making fun, but it was one of our characters. Either August, the janitor, or the senator, or someone else.
Is August here today? I thought I saw him down the hall.
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you cleaned up the joint pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I was cleaning it up for those guys in the morning, you know.
Yeah, you got them dead mouses out of there, too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that one. Okay, buddy.
What did you use in the mouses?
I had an advertiser.
That's what I'm asking. Mouse, yeah.
Right.
A mouse killer.
Roger, you...
So, and the script was, you know, you lay this out there and they die, they're dead, they're gone, you know. It sounded awful, so I started a voice of a mouse.
Yeah, you did the
voice of a mouse.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what
did
it...
Did you have a name for the character?
Squeaky.
And I can't even remember what voice I used for that, but...
You know, I'd like to just stop in here and interrupt you on your commercials. You know, it says I killed mouse dead. Isn't that kind of, you know, just, I mean, what kind of men would say such a thing as that?
That's politically,
you
know, incorrect.
And actually, if you'd take a picture of me today and show them to one of your friends, you'd realize how cuddly I am. And
so every morning, just kind of ad lib a little thing. And eventually, it got to be the whole commercial. I had to figure.
Dear listeners, do I need to?
So I was waiting for the advertiser to say, hey, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
And we did meet with them for lunch one time. They said, it's great. Keep doing it. I said,
folks, if you're just tuning in and you're thinking you're hearing Boone and Erickson, this can't be. But it is. They're with us. We're going to hear, you'll hear Sinatra at 2 o'clock today. Yeah, my impression of Boone and Erickson. Sinatra fans, he'll be singing at you at 2 o'clock this afternoon, so don't worry, we'll get the whole show in. But we got Boone and Erickson here, a rare moment for us. Roger, you used to do the mornings at CCO Radio during bad weather. You'd have all the school. You closed more schools than 100 flu epidemics, didn't you, over the years, huh? I mean, every morning, in the winter with the storms and the blizzards.
And we took it very seriously.
Yeah.
And You'd want to do it as fast as possible, but you had to get the pronunciation out there. They don't miss it, because a lot of school names sounded alike.
Yeah, that's right.
If you just mumble through them, but go as fast as you can, yeah.
You were a hero to kids because you gave them the day off, basically.
Oh, I have all kinds of awards from kids for closing school.
Yeah,
we still got them.
You couldn't pronounce Edina, Edina, or Ely, Eli, or Kakato for Kokato. It had to be right.
Oh, I got to tell you something. Kakato.
Yeah.
I can't remember who was filling in doing a sports show in the morning, because everybody was going, oh, I know. It was the first guy who did the hockey.
Al Shaver.
Al Shaver.
Mm-hmm. Al Shaver. Well, when hockey season was over, he came and went to the management and said, I'm sitting around, nothing to do. You got anything for me to do? So they said, well, they got that sports, 5-minute sports section, 7:25.
And may I interrupt, Al was from Canada.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. So they put him in at 7:25. And one day I hear him, he's talking about Cockatoo in basketball, or whatever it was. Cockatoo defeats whatever. Cockatoo. Oh, Kakato. From Canada. So the telephone rings.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Tell that guy. So he comes up to me, will you help me? I really need help. And I said, no problem. Well, one time he came up and says, how do you pronounce this? And I said, well, it is, I'm trying to remember, what's the town near Chaska?
Shakopee.
Mm-hmm. It's Shakopee. It's a Native American name,
sure.
And it's very important that you get it right.
It is.
He goes, Shakopee, the phones ring.
Yep.
Erickson, you did it again.
Erickson.
He lives on the island of
off of Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Victoria.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's a wonderful guy.
He's great. Great play-by-play.
His son does play-by-play.
Yeah, right. He does. He's a wonderful guy.
Oh, he is.
Shaver's a great guy, and I think I told you, Charlie, when you were on the show a month ago, that I was out there the night at the meet. By the way, Charlie and Roger are charter members of the Museum of Broadcasting Hall of Fame. Yes, you are.
And you know how much that cost to get that?
I paid part of the bribe money, but I wanted you guys in there. You belong there, and you are charter members. I was emceeing a few years back.
Excuse me, another charter member in that group was the management of WAVN, the manager.
Really? Is that right? The manager. Would that be?
The name has left me.
Yeah.
Rich.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're being prompted two layers of glass here. He's coming in. Dan Smith will give us the name. Richie Power?
Richie Power, and then there was an...
call him up. Call him up.
Rich Power, yeah.
Yeah, Rich Little on the
and
line,
Rich,
too.
And Rich owned the station, of course.
Mm-hmm. Steve Cannon was inducted into the Hall of Fame about 10 years ago. I had the... what started out to be the honor of emceeing that night. Everything went wrong. Murphy's Law was in full... Here's a room full of communications specialists. Everything they had prepared on CD, on film, on videotape went down the drain. Everything. So I had a choice. I could either walk off or just have fun with it. I stayed, and Al Shaver, when the mics went on again, introduced Cannon. It's the only time I've ever seen Cannon have his head handed to him. Shaver just sliced and diced him, and Cannon was bent over laughing. It was so funny. Steve didn't know whether to leave the room or leave the country. He's just got head. Shaver's a very wicked wit. He's very fast. He's very bright.
Loves to tell naughty stories.
He does. And he told a couple that night. And we're not going to tell them here. But he was, just a great guy. Shaver's son. Yeah, he's done some play-by-play, too. And good Canadian. By the way, Canada Day yesterday. Hey, a belated happy Canada to all our listeners. Yes. What about the New Zealanders? What's your day, Margaret? When's New Zealand Day? Do we know? Yeah, sometime. It's on the calendar there.
The most famous wedding couple recently married.
Yes, they are. Kate and Will.
Kate and Will are in Canada.
They are the toast of Canada.
They are indeed. They're Calgary today.
Yeah, they were in Ottawa, I think, yesterday for Canada Day, and out in Calgary, the Stampede. Every guy's been up to Alberta.
That is the biggest city, bigger than you ever expect. I thought it was a little town.
It's great.
It's huge.
Canada is the best kept secret in North America.
Isn't that the
Nobody
truth?
Knows. My mother grew up in Saskatchewan. People think they hear that word, they think it's a venereal disease. They don't have any idea what it is. People don't know.
Oh, and the Canadians are great.
They are.
They're great people.
They're, my cousins, I'm kind of half Canadian. I'm proud to be an American. But
they must be
country.
Well educated, because more people in the news business and people in...
That's true.
Well, the guy on Jeopardy, he's Canadian.
Alex Trebek?
Sure.
Peter Jennings was Canadian. Yeah, we all are. Entertainers.
Yeah.
Paul Anka, you go all up and down. It's great. Then we have CCO Radio. Any other... you must have just a whole storehouse. Have you guys ever thought about doing a book, doing a reminiscence, doing a memoir? It's... The station has changed.
I started my memoir when I retired.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to 3 pages and...
Did you really start one? Did you
for my grandkids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To remind them of what their grandfather.
They have lots of recordings of you guys, but your memories, like we're doing today, they're priceless. This is a time that's not going to come again. Broadcasting has changed markedly.
Start writing your book, Rush.
You know what stations are now, mostly? People come in the morning and lay down what they call voice tracks. You come in and do a whole day's worth of stuff by reciting about 20 lines into this, and the computer cranks them in to the whole day. So you're doing records, but you're not there. It's eerie to walk into stations, unlike this one, where we have real people. George, you're real, aren't you?
Real players, I know.
Thank you. Dan's real, I know that. But it's true. Our stations were populated with real people, and they worked a shift. Now a guy or a gal comes in the morning, lays down about 30 tracks, and leaves for the day. And the computer intersperses them between records. It sounds like they're there, but they're not. They're not even from the area, so... It's true, Charlie. It's called voice tracking, and that's the voice of broadcasting 2011.
And of course, with satellite radio, that happens.
Right. That's right, yeah. You were telling me, Charlie, you were doing a cross-country drive. Maybe it was earlier this year, last year, and you could dial up Sinatra and just listen to him all the way, and it was fantastic. There are some nice things to be said about that. But people, when it's all said and done, gravitate toward people like you, personalities who talk to them, who are their friends, who speak their language. That's what I like about people from this area. And Charlie, you are a Minnesotan, even though you were born out in New England. You speak Minnesotan.
I married a Minnesotan.
Yeah,
34
yeah.
years ago.
Carol, sweet lady.
And then I really started to understand knowing Carol and getting to know her father. Mm-hmm. I really got to know Roger. It made our relationship. Mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. I was having difficulty figuring out what was a Minnesotan. I didn't know anything about the farm. I thought a silo was singing alone. I didn't know anything.
Charlie will sing a silo.
I drive out to the farm, and I say, "What's that stuff along the road?" "Well, those are the beans." And she'd tell me all about walking the beans. I didn't know anything about that. By the way, the corn is not knee-high by the 4th.
It's not, is it?
No.
No, it's stunted.
Not this year.
That's because the state is shut down, Charlie.
That's right.
That's why.
Of course.
That's it.
Well, that's the last time we did a show. So you married a woman from the farm, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I married,
You're from the farm.
And I married someone who's not from the farm. You married someone. You're not from the farm and you married someone.
You're from the farm, but you married a woman from the sea.
That's it. Yeah.
From the sea and married a woman.
That's it. Can't even remember what we did.
And I'm from Omaha. True. What can I say? I have no excuse, yes, but my parents had the good grace to get out of there soon. So I grew up in St. Louis Park. I'm a native Minnesotan, although I wasn't born here. I love it here. There is an ethos, there is an ethic here, there is a Minnesotan, there is that.
Why did Michelle Bachman go back to Iowa?
Because she's from Waterloo, and she said John Wayne's from Waterloo, and he's not. No. But we'll sort that out later. John Wayne Gacy's from Waterloo, but we don't want to go there.
No, I don't want to go there.
No.
Is this her territory?
Yes, we're in her 6th district here.
Got to be careful.
Got to be really careful. Yeah. Really. But the bridge is still working, so that's the power of Congress right there. Hmm? Yeah. It's going up and down and up and down. Do you guys listen to radio much anymore?
Oh, sure.
Do you?
Yeah.
Can I ask you, what sort of radio do you listen
to? I don't
to?
Listen.
I don't think so.
Oh, I listen a lot.
What do you listen to, Roger?
WCCO.
Yeah.
WAVN. I do.
Roger?
I do. WAVN, I got it on the radio.
KLBB.
I'm on my car thing.
Yep.
No, I really do. Seriously.
Okay.
I like radio. Mm-hmm. Sure.
You've done TV. You've done some TV, too, Charlie.
Very little.
Yeah, I know. But radio, I've done a bit of TV, and I feel at home
on
radio.
I remember you from TV.
Yeah, I do, too. Yes. I can't remember. My name escapes me. I can't remember. Chanel 5. Chanel number 5. That was it. We had fun there. We did. We were, I'll tell you, that's another story.
You were there many, many years.
Yeah, I was.
How many years?
I told them when they asked who I was just on a tour, so I lasted there all those years. They just thought I was with a tour group.
Well, Dave Moore stopped to use the bathroom.
He did. He got hired.
And they got hired.
Yeah. I tried that, but they didn't have any bathrooms, so it didn't work for me. Didn't work.
Great being with you.
You wouldn't want to. It's wonderful being with you guys. Thank you for everything you have done for us. You are really part of our families. No, this is not getting schmaltzy.
Yeah, it is
not
getting schmaltzy. We love it.
Okay. What is that stuff along the side of the road near a farm, Roger? It's not beans.
Huh?
If a horse just... Well, no.
Oh,
no.
I see.
You know what? I hope you guys do seriously consider... Charlie, go on and do the memoirs. Keep writing them. Put it down. And the trick is, don't think you're writing memoirs, but put your thoughts down in no particular order. You too, Roger. I hope you do it. You guys have lived a life through a period that will really never come again in this business.
I love this guy.
No. It's true.
You're very nice.
You are part of us, and we are grateful that you had so many years.
I should have said something you mentioned.
Please do.
When Charlie mentioned the thing at the old lock on July 6th, 7:30. But anyway, we are going to have two different deals. First part is going to be in the 40s, all that good music, mm-hmm. and some of the shows we did at that time. As a matter of fact, that were done at that time, we're going to do one at Takeoff on what's his name?
George is getting the theme
the
song
cowboy.
Ready here.
Oh, Jim Arness.
Jim Arness. Yeah.
Jim Arness recently passed
yes,
away.
Yes, he did.
He
was indeed.
We do politically correct Gunsmoke.
Do you? Politically correct, do you?
Yes.
How lovely. Folks, get out to the old log theater. I never can find it. I try to find it.
But that second half is all Charlie's choice. Because he just retired, we said that he should decide what things out of the past we should do in the second half of the show. So he's selected them. We don't know exactly what they are, but he's going to show me the scripts.
Well, we'll find out.
You think they're legal?
Soon now.
You think they're legal, right?
No.
No, not, definitely not. No. Well, let's turn on the music here, and we're going to thank, buku thanks to Roger Erickson and Charlie Boone.
A legend within their own mind.
A legend in their own mind and time. Boone and Erickson, thank you so much, guys. You're welcome here anytime. Thank you for your time today, and thank you for all you've done for us over the years. George, thank you, buddy.
You're welcome, sir.
Be of good cheer.
It's been a blast.